chapter 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 15 is all I'll read for sake of time, and then we'll rehearse some verses earlier in the chapter. Mark chapter 5 and verse 15 says this, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind." Praise the Lord. But notice this, "And they were afraid." And they were afraid. Lord, I need you to help me tonight as I stand behind this pulpit. I ask that you'd touch my lips, Lord. Fill my mouth with your words and not my own. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. Let the name of Jesus be exalted in this place and in our lives and in our hearts, we pray. Change us to be more like you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Praise the Lord. And you may be seated here tonight. I want to preach for just a few moments here on Call Me Crazy. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Call Me Crazy." Woo, that was easy for some of you. Woo. Some of you are used to being called that. Amen, but Call Me Crazy. That'll make sense, hopefully, with the help of the Lord here in just a moment. But in Mark chapter 5, if you rewind just a little bit and read in the previous chapter, that's when Christ and his disciples were on the stormy sea. You'll remember, and Christ arose and rebuked the winds and the waves, and all came to a hush. Amen. What a miracle that Christ performed there on that sea that night. Amen. But just as soon as that was done and passed, and they docked on the shore there in the country of the Gadarenes, amen, there meets them a man out of the tombs that was possessed with the devil. Amen. The devil came right on the heels of one of Christ's greatest miracles. Amen. We just came through a wonderful week of camp, but you mark my word, the devil is going to be working, amen, right after, amen, that miracle that God has done in your life and in your family. That's when the devil does some of his greatest work. Amen. Is immediately after the miracle. That's another message for another time. But here comes this crazed, insane demoniac out of the tombs, and you can see the chains that are hanging off of him that had been plucked asunder as men had tried to bind him and to tame him to no avail. Amen. There were the chains that were broken. Amen. And he no doubt had scars on him from where he had been cutting himself with the stones. What a sight to behold. Maybe he was foaming at the mouth a little bit, hair matted and untamed. Amen. He was obviously unclothed at this time. What a sight it was to behold. The disciples no doubt maybe found a little bit of a hiding spot behind Jesus, like, what in the world is wrong with this guy? Amen. And so this is how they found themselves right after one of the greatest miracles. Amen. But I want to focus in on something here after this man, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, so just stay with me. We'll go back through this. Amen. But here these men, they had met this demoniac, the disciples, and Christ cast the devil out of him, the legion of devils rather, and cast him into the swine, and the swine ran violently down the hill into the sea, and there they were choked and died, and there was a great ruckus that was stirred. Amen. The people of the city came out to see the man who had lived in the mountains and lived among the tombs there, sitting clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid of that. Amen. They weren't afraid of him necessarily as a demoniac. Amen. Or at least the Bible doesn't say that. They had approached him, amen, trying to bind him with chains. Amen. Treating him like some kind of a wild animal. I don't know if it was for the adrenaline rush. Amen. I'm a bit of an outdoorsman myself. Amen. And I love a good adrenaline rush. There's just something about coming in contact with a live wild animal. Amen. I don't know what they were doing, if it was some kind of game, but they were bold enough, listen, to bind him with chains and to get close enough to him to contact him. Amen. But the Bible says when they saw him in his right mind, that's when they were afraid. Listen to me now. Amen. This world has a backwards view of what crazy is. Do they not? Amen. They think that someone, amen, sitting clothed in their right mind is crazy. Amen. This is an indictment against that generation, but I'm afraid that our generation in 2017, as far as the world goes, is very similar to that one, in that our priorities are backwards. Amen. And they are upside down at times. We can't walk down the aisles at Walmart, amen, in a modest apparel, amen, in our skirts and in our dresses, ladies, with our hair uncut, amen. We look different to people and they look at us like we're what? Crazy. All the while, they're the ones that got the lime green hair that's spiked about a foot up off of their head. Amen. They've got gauges in their ear that you could swim a largemouth bass through. Amen. They've got chains and hanging off of them, and they're dressed in black. Listen, I'm not trying to throw stones at anybody here tonight, but if we're offering opinions, to me, that's what looks crazy. Amen. But they want to look at me, amen, with my Christian lifestyle and my Christian attire. Come on now here. Amen. They want to call me crazy. Amen. If that's what it takes for the world to call me crazy, then I say let them call me crazy. Amen. Isaiah says this in chapter 5. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Amen. Everything's all backwards. Amen. Is that not the hour that we're living in here in America? Amen. The priorities that used to be on the top of the list in generations gone by has somehow sifted its way to the bottom of the list. Amen. Church. Amen. Prayer time and Bible reading. Amen. It's sifted its way down to the bottom of the list in many people's lives. Amen. Things like family values and moral absolutes, amen, have sifted their way down to the bottom. Now everything's questionable and everything is up for debate. Amen. I'm afraid that the generation we're living in has got it upside down and they've got it backwards. They call good evil and evil good. They smile on promiscuity. Amen. They smile on immorality. Amen. They parade their immorality. Amen. They're proud of the fact that they are now openly homosexual, free from persecution or oppression. They brag about the fact that they have the liberty and the freedom and the quote unquote rights to walk into a clinic and take the life of their unborn child. I'm telling you, church, we need to pray for America in this generation, because we've got some things backwards and we've got some things upside down. Amen. But while all that's going on, I say, God, give us a church that's not afraid to look crazy in the eyes of the world, because chances are if we look crazy in the eyes of the world, something's lining up with the Word of God in our life. Amen. If the way that we dress looks crazy to the world, that means we're different from them. Hallelujah. Peter said this, ye are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Amen. You've been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we look crazy sometimes. Oh, yes. I need to move along quickly. I'm going to hurry tonight. Amen. I wanted to interview this man, but we'll call him Legion tonight. I don't know his name, but that's what they would call him. I want to interview him or look at him a little more closely here tonight. I want us to notice, first of all, amen, as a demon-possessed man, amen, and I'm not here to make you feel eerie or creepy here tonight. I'm not the kind of guy, amen, that believes there's a devil behind every bush. But I do believe that we are in a spiritual warfare. Amen. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers. Amen. Demonic spirits are afoot in the world that we're living in, whether we want to admit it or not. Amen. But notice this man, Legion. You have to pray for my voice tonight. It's a little under the weather. Praise the Lord. But notice his location. Where was he located? Where did he live? In the graves, in the tombs, in the mountains. Amen. Or the tombs, more specifically, the place of death. Amen. His dwelling was among the tombs. That's where he lived his life. Listen to me, especially young people right now. Amen. I don't believe that it's God's will for the child of God to be associated with death at all. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Listen, we get distracted. Amen. Our society is obsessed with death. Amen. God forbid that any child of God, and I'm not the pastor here, maybe I should just leave this alone. Amen. But I'm telling you, God forbid, amen, that the television sets and the movie sets and Christian homes contain such content as The Walking Dead. Come on here now. Amen. It's not God's will for us to associate with death, young people. Hear me. You play around with death, and that's exactly what your life will become in the spirit, dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need to move on. There's young people that are obsessed, amen, with death metal music. I know you've heard of it. Amen. I'm not so naive here tonight. Amen. Death is what our society is obsessed with. And that is exactly where the devil wants us to be. That's where the devil had put this man, in a place of death. That was his location. What a sad place to live. Amen. Also, on that note of his location, verse 10 says that they had begged Jesus. You'll read, amen, that those spirits cried out and begged for mercy, amen, to Jesus, the one who had the ultimate authority. Praise the Lord. They said, do not make us depart from this country. There was something that they loved about the Gadarenes. Amen. They did not want to leave that place. Amen. There was a stronghold. Amen. In that place that they loved to occupy, whether it was the hearts of the people. Amen. Maybe it was the idol worship that went on there. For whatever reason, they loved that stronghold there at the country of the Gadarenes. Amen. And I would even venture to say that there are places on this earth, if not every place. Amen. There is a stronghold of hell that is intended to be brought down. Amen. I believe that there are principalities and powers that flock to certain areas. What about it? Cities like Las Vegas. Come on here now. Los Angeles. Amen. New York City. Major cities like that where there are spirits afoot. Amen. That prey on those that might have tendencies of things that are not godly. Amen. I'm going to move on past this. Amen. But I dare say that right here in Lorain, Ohio are some strongholds that are waiting for some child of God to put on their armor and go to war with those principalities. Are you going to help me preach a little bit here tonight? Amen. You young people, my heart goes out to you as you walk the halls of those public schools. Amen. There are strongholds that are there, and you don't have to be intimidated because you're young. Listen to me now. You don't have to be intimidated by your youth, but as a child of God, you can strap your armor on and you can walk into that schoolhouse, and you don't have to be afraid of the strongholds. Help me, Lord, but you can pull them down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. They begged that they would not leave that country, but how many knows they didn't have the final word. Praise the Lord. Notice also his limitations. Legion's limitations, that is. Seems to be none. For verse 3 tells us that no man could bind him, not with chains. To everyone else, they thought that the devil, that those demonic spirits had no limitations. Amen. And do we not sometimes feel overwhelmed with the powers of the darkness that are afoot in the world today? We become discouraged by our sin-sick world that we're living in. Amen. But here come one on the scene who truly had no limitations. And this man tasted freedom that day for the first time in a long time. Amen. I've been in services, amen, where we wrestled, amen, with spirits that were cast out of individuals. Sometimes only one. I've been in services where there were as many as 7 demonic spirits that were cast out of one person. But can you imagine 2,000? Oh, my mind cannot comprehend that, and my spirit does not even know that type of oppression, but this man did. Amen. He knew what it was like to hear those lies screaming in his ear and in his mind to the point that he lost control of his own faculties. Amen. His limitations seemed like they were none, the devil's that is, but here come one on the scene, amen, by the name of Jesus, who showed the one who really has no limits. Praise the Lord. Those chains that have been broken in the physical, amen, we're just a picture, amen, of what was about to take place in his spirit. Here comes Jesus, and those chains that bound his spirit that day, amen, they begin to rattle and to break, and he was set free for the first time in a long time. I'm glad I know the one who truly has no limitations. How about you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It seemed like he had no limitations. I also noticed his lament in verse 5. He was always, night and day, in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Amen. Imagine the cry of this man in torment. What it must have been like. Amen. The wailing. Amen. The screaming as he was in torment in both his body and his spirit. Amen. I heard a story. I don't know how true it is. Amen. You got to be careful what you read and what you look at. But I do believe that hell is a real place. But there was a drilling process that took place down into the core of the earth. I believe somewhere in the country of Russia. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. Amen. But they began to get these audio sounds coming back up from that drill, and they put a mic down to it, and they listened, and they heard, amen, weeping and wailing that they had never heard, such as they'd never heard in their life. I do believe hell is a real place, and the reason that there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, amen, is because of the reality of the torment. Amen. How many believe that folks can taste heaven right here on earth? Amen. You ever been in that in a service like that where it seemed like heaven just settled down in that place? Amen. And you felt like you were as close to heaven as you have ever been. Listen, beloved, I believe that hell can be just as real on earth. Amen. I believe there are times when hell begins to enlarge itself. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Don't get lost with me here. Amen. And begins to oppress people. Amen. And make them feel like it could swallow them up. Amen. And so his lament was this: somebody help me. Somebody save me. Somebody set me free. Praise the Lord. And thank God he got his liberation. On that day, Jesus set him free. Amen. And brought him to a place he had never known before. Notice he was seated. Amen. Notice these few things. He was seated. As opposed to being restless and running up and down in the mountains, now he was still and at peace. He was seated. The Bible tells us that for a reason. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. For you see, the Bible also tells us that God has raised us up to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. What did Christ do when he had finished his work on the cross? Amen. He hung his head and he uttered those three words: "It is finished." He then, after he had ascended up on high, he sat down on the right hand of the Father. Amen. I'm privileged to teach the tabernacle class at the Bible school, one of my favorite subjects. And you'll notice in that Levitical priesthood, in the tabernacle, later on in the temple, amen, the priest was a man of many responsibilities. Amen. He was responsible for offering the sacrifice, cleaning the sacrifice. Amen. Disposing of the ashes of the sacrifice, cleaning and washing at the laver, and you'll study that at another time if you haven't already. Amen. But there were many articles of furniture in the tabernacle. Amen. We read about the brazen altar, the brazen laver. We move into the holy place, and there we read about the table of showbread and the golden candlestick and the altar of incense, each of those typifying ministries of Christ and the work of salvation in the life of the believer. And we move into the most holy place, and there we find the Ark of the Covenant. But nowhere in the tabernacle do you find a seat. There's nowhere for the priest to sit down. You see, that old system was to be one day replaced and done away with. Why? Because there was a high priest that was coming who was both high priest and sacrifice, the only spotless sacrifice. Amen. And so when he had offered himself, amen, and ascended up on high, he sat at the right hand of the Father as if to say, the work has been done. Praise the Lord. Now our spirits can be at peace. No longer do we have to try to prove ourselves. No longer do we have to go the road of rites and rituals and do everything exactly to perfection. Listen, I believe in moral responsibility. I believe we have to live for God and live right. Amen. But that doesn't affect our salvation. No good work that's ever been done would save anybody. Amen. It doesn't matter how good you've been. It doesn't matter if the scale is tipped heavier on the good side than it is the bad side. Amen. It's all in the completed work of Christ that we find our rest and our peace. I'm glad we can be seated with Him. If you came here tonight feeling troubled in your mind and troubled in your spirit, amen, I want to let you know that you can have peace, amen, and sit in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. For He is a seated high priest. The work's already been done. Many of us are trying to accomplish what's already been done. Thank God for His finished work. Praise the Lord. Notice also, not only was He seated, but He was clothed. Whew. Better leave that one alone. Hallelujah. For years He had been shamed and forced to live in a place of degradation. That's what the devil does to people. He doesn't love you. Young people, listen, with those temptations and those dazzling dreams that He's dangling in front of you, He doesn't love you. Amen. He's not interested in your best. He only wants to bring you far enough away from the presence of God that He could strip you of everything that you know and love and leave you there alone and helpless. Amen. Somebody help me preach as I bring this to a close. Amen. But on this day, this man had an encounter with Jesus, and his life was so changed that it showed up on the outside. Amen. I'm glad that there's a reality, amen, to this experience we have in Christ. I'm glad that people can tell on the outside when we've had an encounter with Jesus. And no, I'm not just talking about, amen, the clothes that you wear or the way you do your hair. Come on now here. I'm talking about the look on your face. Amen. It's okay to smile, Christian, when you go out in public. It's all right when you got a wait in the line at Walmart to put a smile on your face. Amen. Why? So people can see that there's something different about you. Amen. I'm glad that He makes a change in us that shows up on the outside. Hallelujah. I know it starts on the inside. Amen. But pretty soon it starts showing up. People are going to know when you've had an encounter with the Lord. Amen. People are going to see it. They're going to see it on your countenance. They're going to feel it radiating from your spirit. I'm glad that He can make a change in us. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hand and say, thank God for the change that's been made in me. Hallelujah. I'm glad He can make a change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad that He can turn a life around that's wretched, that's bound, that's broken and bitter. He can make it better. He can put a smile on your face. Amen. In the darkest night, He can give you peace that passes understanding when the world is crashing down around you. Amen. Just one moment in His presence and everything can be changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe the world's going to see the change that's been made at you. Those people that you work with. Amen. Those kids that you go to school with. Amen. They're going to see what God has done. And they're going to want what you got when you get it like you really need to get it. When you get it the Bible way, folks are going to want it too. Praise the Lord. Lastly, he was in his right mind. Whew. Praise the Lord. I think I've been on the verge of that myself a few times. Praise the Lord. I'm just a young man. I don't necessarily claim to be old enough to say this, but dealing with a bunch of 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, praise God. Whew, sometimes I feel like I am not in my right mind. Praise the Lord. But this man, Legion, that day, for the first time in a long time, he could think clearly. Hallelujah. Have you ever been muddled in your mind? Amen. Listen, I've been to that place. I'm not going to pretend like I'm looking down my nose at somebody. Young people, I've been there where I was so far from God that I couldn't even think right. Hallelujah. But oh, how many know when you get in the presence of the Lord, He renews. Hallelujah. I said He renews our mind. Amen. Be not conformed to this world. They think we're crazy. Amen. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm glad He can touch our mind. Listen, there's Christians today, amen, call themselves believers, and I believe that to be so, but they're addicted to things, amen, like antidepressants. Amen. They're on medication that the doctor says will help with their anxiety. Amen. And if that's you here tonight, and you lean on those things, amen, to get through life. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to let you know there's a better way. Amen. There's an altar where you can meet with Him and He can transform your mind. We've got a written, inspired, inerrant Word of God. When you begin to delve into it, as your eyes begin to feast on the bread of life, you will find that your mind will be transformed and renewed. You can be changed in your mind. You can be changed in your body. And you can be changed in your spirit tonight. Hallelujah. So as far as it goes, amen, as far as the world goes, I want them to think I'm crazy. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me here tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, lift a hand. Ask the Lord to help us here tonight. I know I've probably preached a little bit too long. Amen. Amen. Young people, listen to me now. Amen. The old timers used to call this convictions. Amen. When you felt the Lord dealing with something, dealing with your heart about something that you need to lay aside. Amen. And perhaps look foolish in the eyes of other people so you can get closer to God. That's what you call a conviction. I would to God that the Lord would begin to root some conviction in the lives of these young people. How about it, youth group? You need God to help you to lay some things aside. Amen. Brother Phil preached so well the other night about some idols. You maybe need to cast those aside, and people are going to say, you're crazy, man. Amen. But do it anyway. It's going to let you be closer to God. Amen. There might be some things that you need to decide that you're going to either do or not do that might seem crazy to some people. Amen. Listen, I need to bring us into these altar here. Amen. I'm help me, Lord. I remember the Lord dealing with me when I first started preaching. And I'm not here to pick on it, but I grew up in a house. My dad had we were too far in the country necessarily to have a TV. Amen. Man, we was out in the boonies, man. When cell phones finally came along, trying to get cell phone service, you forget it. I don't even know why we had cell phones. Amen. But I remember the Lord began to deal with me. I started preaching when I was about 15 years old, and the family used to sit around in the living room, and they'd sit and watch their movie. Praise the Lord. And God began to deal with me and pull me away. And I'm not here to cast stones on anybody. Amen. But He would pull me away to my bedroom. And there I would sometimes for hours at a time. And this is the Lord. Amen. This is the Lord. I'm bragging on the Lord. And He would deal with me and He would draw me to His Word. And I begin to read His Word while others were entertained and spent hours in front of entertainment. I'm not against that here tonight. Amen. But some people say, that's crazy. Why would you do that? But God was doing something in my life. Amen. And He was working that He could bring Himself some glory. Hallelujah. You might have to decide to do some things that might look a little crazy. But if it brings me closer to God, hallelujah. Call me crazy. Oh, would you help me tonight, church? Hallelujah. Lift a hand. Ask the Lord to help us one more time. I'd like to be crazy in the way that I walk. The way that I live. I want people to look at it and say, that's different. In essence, that's crazy. Hallelujah. I'd love to be crazy in the way that I talk. Amen. I want my speech to be seasoned with grace. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to spout the filth of this world. They'll call me crazy for it. But I'm going to stand in front of God someday for all the idle words that I spoke. And as far as I'm concerned, amen, I want the world to think my talk is crazy. I think theirs is crazy. Amen. They can curse and carry on and tell their dirty jokes. And I got to listen to that filth all day. They can listen to me talk about the Bible. Praise the Lord. They can listen to me talk about my God and going to church. Hallelujah. And that sounds crazy to them, but I really don't care if it brings me closer to God, if it sets me apart. Makes me a light and a city set on a hill. Amen. I don't care to look a little crazy. Amen. I'd love to be crazy in my worship. Hallelujah. I'm Pentecostal to the core. Hallelujah. I believe it's biblical. I'd love to be crazy in my worship. This world worships a lot of the wrong stuff. Amen. But I come into this place tonight to worship the one who's truly deserving of all of my worship. Amen. If you want to sit there and you want to sit back and and spectate while others get in and worship. I want to get in on the worship. Hallelujah. I might look a little crazy. My tie might get a little crooked and my hair might get a little messed up, but I want to be crazy in my worship. Amen. Someone were to walk in and look through the windows and the doors of Broadway Assembly, what would they say? Amen. Would they think, oh, help me, Lord. Would they think they mistakenly stopped by a morgue? Amen. Or a funeral home? Or would they be convinced that those people are crazy? Amen. They're different. I'd love to get a little crazy in my worship, in the way that I live, in the way that I talk. The world might think it's stupid and the world might think it's crazy and I might look like a fool. Amen. But if I'm ashamed of Him on this earth, and if I'm ashamed of Him before men, amen, I don't want Him to be ashamed of me before His Father. How about you? Hallelujah. Come, if you would, to these altars. I've done preach too long. Amen. We got to be careful, church. Sometimes we begin to resemble the world just a little too much. Amen. I believe there ought to be a distinction between the church and the world, and it takes a work of the Spirit to make that distinction. Amen. Let God make the difference in your life to the point that folks say they're crazy. Amen. But if this world says we're crazy, I believe the Father's looking down with eyes of love, saying, that's my child. I've called them out. I've separated them, and I have marked them for such a purpose.
Be different in this world of compromise. I'll stand for you, Jesus, though I might be criticized. For me, you were ridiculed, mocked, and crucified. So I'll dare to be different, set apart and sanctified. Oh, I'll dare to be different in this world of compromise. I'll stand for you, Jesus, though I might be criticized. For me, you were ridiculed, mocked and crucified. So I'll dare to be different, set apart and sanctified. Oh, I'll dare to be different in this world of compromise. I'll stand for you, Jesus, though I might be criticized. For me, you were ridiculed, mocked and crucified. So I'll dare to be different, set apart and sanctified. I'll dare to be different in a world of compromise. I'll stand for you, Jesus, though I might be criticized. For me, you were ridiculed, mocked and crucified. So I'll dare to be different, set apart and sanctified.